I am impressed to see so many of you here this morning. Usually we get the remnant crowd who don't really know what to do between Christmas and New Year. So I'm glad you are all committed to being here. Have you ever been on a vacation that to someplace amazing? Those leaps and bounds different than what you're used to in your normal life? Somewhere that has an idyllic or even fantastical way of living around it? My sister, Jessica, last year, she moved to Hawaii. Yeah, I know. she married a Marine named Drew, and he had the misfortune of being stationed on the island of Oahu. Poor soul, I know. And I'm a good brother, okay? I love my sister. So I made the sacrifice, and I went out to visit her so she wouldn't feel isolated, so she knew that I still loved her. So I ended up in April, I ended up going out to visit her in Hawaii, and there's a picture of it to show how hard it was to be out there, to show how difficult the time was, if there's a picture up. It was a really rough time out there, obviously. And so we had been spending the week at luau's. You know, it was amazing. You know, we were snorkeling, hiking, and Hawaii was like better than anything I could have imagined it to be. It was just as warm and sunny and relaxing as all the stereotypes had told me it was. And so, you know, we had been doing the hard Hawaii stuff, and so I decided one morning I needed to take it slow. So I woke up on my own, no alarm, no agenda. I poured myself a cup of fresh Hawaiian coffee, sat on my sister's porch and watched the sun peek up over a dormant volcano and illuminate the beachside city of Honolulu. I opened up my Facebook and I saw a slew of posts from people back north. And if you remember, early April in Massachusetts, there was a huge snowstorm. And everyone on Facebook was just like complaining. You could sense the exasperation from the snow, the roads closing, the schools closing, and everyone was like, why is this still happening? And I had this view, and I had a moment of smug relaxation, and I had a thought. I thought, I don't need to go back. Like, my sister moved here. People live here year-round. I don't need to leave Hawaii. I could stay here and make a life for myself. Just up and leave, or like, just stay there forever. But I couldn't. As you can tell, I'm here. I didn't stay in Hawaii. I wanted to stay, but I couldn't. I had to come back here. I have a job. I have bills. I have a life. But that's normal on vacation. You experience life in a new way, an exciting way. And then you return to normal. Are there any Disney World fans here? Only a couple. Great. Shout out. Happy birthday, Mickey. I guess the Disney World fans are currently at Disney World for Christmas. We have a few families from here that are there. Disney World is, as they market it, the most magical place on Earth. And they do a good job creating an atmosphere of a perfect life, of a perfect experience. Other than the crowds and the busyness, but people love Disney. Some people love Disney so much that they never want to leave. So Disney created a mysterious town in the 90s called Celebration, Florida. There's a picture of it. There it is. It was created and established by Disney with Disney values for people who love Disney. And it was created to be a real-life Epcot. And if you don't know what Epcot stands for, it's actually an acronym that means Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow. So they created a prototype community, a place that was supposed to be ideal, the ideal form of living for people who do not want to leave Disney. And you can tell it's colorful, it's very like Disney looking. And so they wanted to have like a Disney feel all the time. But the truth is, you can't live at Disney. This place was supposed to be an ideal society. But the construction was faulty. There's poor electricity in the houses. There was leaks in almost every building. There's a shockingly odd lack of diversity among this community, and they wanted everything to look so perfect all the time that, like, the homeowner association rules are very strict. So what was supposed to be a perfect community ended up being more of like a Truman Show kind of feel, where everything looks perfect, but there's like something weird and almost sinister underneath. Because the truth is, you can't live at Disney. You can't stay on vacation. You can't stay in that big forever. Now, the reason I'm talking about this is because we just had Christmas. And Christmas is the Disney World of commercial holidays. Christmas is the big Hawaiian vacation on the Christian calendar. And whether you believe the Christmas story that we celebrate here or not, Christmas is big. For some, Christmas is stressful. For some, Christmas is relaxing. For some, it's joyful. For some, it's filled with conflict and memories of trauma and unfortunate things like that. But regardless, Christmas is a deviation from the normal. Christmas is a break from normal life. And usually, for most people, you get a little more time off work. You get some more time with family. And you get more church, which is, you know, good or bad, depending on who you ask. But if you celebrated with us last week, we were at Fusion Church, and it was big for us. It was amazing. We combined two church communities. We worshiped together with hundreds of people and celebrated that God came to earth to show us his love. And Christmas, in its bigness, it's a time that most of us would like to stay in. It's a time that is filled with family and friends and rest and generosity and gift giving. Why wouldn't we want to stay there? But if you haven't looked at the calendar recently, it's December 30th and the new year is almost upon us. And in a couple days, if you haven't already, you will have to return to normal life. You will have to return from Christmas to normal. If that's a shock for anyone, I'm very sorry, but... And so I want to walk us through that process of what it means to go from that big Christmas experience to normal life again. So in order to do that, I want to look at the first Christmas. Surprise. And I don't want to look at Mary, Joseph, Jesus too much because we talked about them and we talked about Simeon last week. But I want to look at a set of normal people who had this experience. So we're going to look at the shepherds this week. And the shepherds were normal people. They were, by their name, sheep herders. Shep, herds, you get it? Yeah. They were people who watched sheep. That was their whole life, day in, day out. Their lives were marked by routine and responsibility. And maybe that sounds like a familiar lifestyle. They had the same tasks every day, every month, every year. They had to feed the sheep, shear the sheep, care for the sheep, protect the sheep, and that was it. So they were normal. But something else about the shepherds is that they were lower class citizens. Not the lowest of the low, but they were definitely isolated. Naturally, by their profession, they didn't really hang out with a lot of people. They were busy watching sheep all day. But also they were kind of stinky and gross, and people didn't really want to hang out with them. And on top of that, in the religious Jewish culture, they were considered unclean. They had to deal with like blood and dead sheep and those kind of gross things. And in Jewish law, that would make them ceremonially unclean, which means they were not allowed to attend worship. So they were isolated from society, isolated from religion, and just constantly doing their job. So they're normal people, and then the Christmas story happens. These normal people were doing their job, watching their sheep, and then angels came to them and said, "Hey, God has come to earth." And then a chorus of angels comes to them and says, "Hey, we mean it. God has come to earth. Go and see them." And then they go and they see the living God come to earth. They encounter God in the flesh. And to put that in perspective of why that is big is because this is our Bible. The Jewish culture has like the Old Testament, which is like 2/3 of our Bible, and everything in this book, this section of the book, is pointing up to this moment. Everything in the Jewish faith from creation to the end of the prophets was pointing to Jesus coming to earth. Everything in God's story was hinging on this moment, and the shepherds were the first to see God in person. That's big for normal people. And then Luke 2, verse 20, starts out this way. It says, the shepherds went back to their flocks. Talk about an uncomfortable return to normal. To have this huge encounter with the living God and then go back to normal life. And we, as the Christian church, as Harbor, just celebrated Christmas. We just celebrated the birth of Christ, and now we must return to our flocks. We're going back to normal. So, who are your flocks? What are your flocks? Where are your flocks? Is your flock work? Is it home? Is it your family, your coworkers, your friends? Routine and responsibility? Is your flock social isolation? Whatever it is, you are about to return to it. And we know the shepherds weren't returning to anything glamorous. They were returning to sheep. Dumb, gross sheep. If they were like me in Hawaii, or if they're like the people of Celebration, Florida, they would have stayed at the manger. They would have encountered God and seen all that he was doing there and said, let's stay here and worship God forever. But imagine for a moment if they stayed at the manger. They, in a few days, Mary and Joseph would have left with Jesus. And then the shepherds would have just been sitting in an empty barn, hanging out with donkeys and probably more sheep, taking selfies and donkey poop. It would have been disappointing. It would have been normal. But it's natural for us to do that. It's natural for us to experience something in one place and then hold that place in high regard. To say that this place is special. God has moved here. He will always move here. And when we do that, we develop what I like to call a summer camp faith. I grew up going to a Christian summer camp called Camp Squanto, and it was the highlight of my year. It was always the best week of my entire year, and it was a week of intensity, intense fun, intense songs, intense community. And I would sing louder and jump higher and play harder and worship more powerfully than I would at any other point of the year. I would encounter God in real ways, and every single year, I would recommit my life to Jesus. And every year, I would talk to God. I would say, God, I'm giving my life to you. This year is yours. I am changed for you. I am transformed for you. But then Saturday would roll around, my parents would pick me up, I would get in the car, and then I would get angry at my parents. And then I wouldn't open up my Bible, and I wouldn't pray. And I had this isolated worship experience, and then I would go back to normal. And I developed this 1 week of the year faith, and I worshiped this way 1 week of the year for years. Until I finally realized that I could encounter God in my regular life. I could pray. I could worship. I could have community outside of that experience. But I think if we're being honest, a lot of us come here on Sundays for the same reason. We encounter God here, and that's excellent. But then the rest of the week is, you know, absent of God. And we think, oh, we'll go to church again. But the rest of the week, we don't focus on God. I've heard countless people say that when they walk through these doors, they feel something special. They feel God moving. They feel that God is alive in this place. That this room holds a special power because God is present here. And that is wonderful and excellent because God is moving here. But have you ever been in this room on a Tuesday afternoon? It's weirdly quiet, it's empty, and it's uncomfortably normal. Because you can't stay here. You can't stay in this room. You can't stay at Harbor because this room doesn't hold any special power to it. What is special about this room is the fact that God is moving in it. The shepherds knew that there was no power in the here, that there was power in God. The shepherds knew that they couldn't stay at the manger, which is why they returned to their flocks. But they did not return to their flocks unchanged. Luke 2:20 goes on. It says, the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. They brought with them everything that they had experienced. They didn't just go back and watch their sheep. They went back praising God. And this is a scriptural principle. This doesn't happen only here. All throughout Scripture, it points to the fact that when we encounter God, we cannot leave it within ourselves. Beginning, middle, and end of Scripture. In the beginning of Scripture, Deuteronomy 6, which is kind of the core passage that Jewish families held on to, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Impress this on your children, in your sitting, in your standing, in your coming, in your going. Wherever you go, remember who God is." And then in the middle of Scripture, in Psalm 34, and we sing a song about this, it says, "Your praise will ever be on my lips." And then at the end of Scripture, in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances." And so these passages that weave through Scripture saying that we need to praise God at all times. And it's not just Scripture telling us what to do. There's examples of it. In the Old Testament, whenever God moved powerfully in a society or in a group of people, they would build an altar to the Lord. They would build a pile of rocks, a cairn or an Ebenezer, to commemorate what God had done. But they didn't build this altar so they could move in there or worship it or stay there. They built the altar so they could remember what God had done and then move forward. They didn't stay in the here. They remembered what God had done and moved forward. And that's what the shepherds did. They saw what God had done at the manger, and then they brought it with them wherever they went. But why were the shepherds so changed? Why were the shepherds so radically affected by this encounter with God? It was not just because they saw God in the flesh. It was because the good news of God coming to earth was for them. The shepherds knew and they saw that this message was for them. That God came for them who were previously told they couldn't worship God. For those who were cast out of the society and isolated, who kept their heads down, were working hard, but were told that they didn't belong. This message was for them. And so they experienced that in the here, and they brought that there. They brought that with them. And they knew that they couldn't keep this in themselves. They couldn't sit at the manger waiting for God to move at the manger again. People needed to know that God was there for them. They couldn't keep it to themselves. And this message is not just for them. This message is for you as well. This message of God coming to earth to show you he loves you is for you. You whose lives are marked by routine and responsibility. Whose lives are marked by social isolation or being cast out or being told you can't worship or join a church or be part of a community. This message is for you. That is why God came to earth. To eliminate the systems that were set in place by people to say, hey, these don't matter. What matters is that I love you. That is what the shepherds experienced and needed to share with the world. So don't leave that here, because you can't stay in this space. You can't stay in the here. You can't let church be an isolated experience that you stay at, that you come to once a week. Because if you leave here, you are wasting the entire purpose of why God came to earth, to be with all his people and share his love with all of his people. And I've talked about this from stage before, but we are called harbor for a reason. Because a harbor is where ships come to rest, where people come to be restored. And then they go out to do what they are meant to do. So come into this place and find rest. Come into this place and be restored and encounter God. That is what we are here for. But do not stay here. You cannot stay here. But you can bring what you experience here there. But in order to bring here there, you need to be aware of how you have been changed here. You need to know how God has impacted you here. And so if God in this place has shown you his radical and unconditional love, awesome. But bring that assurance with you of his love into the world that says you are unloved. Take that assurance of his love for you and share it with others. Let others know that they too are loved. And maybe in this space, you have found value as God's beloved child. Wonderful. Carry that value into the world and show those who are otherwise unvalued that they too have value in God's eyes. Or maybe in this place you have found rest for your tired and weary and broken soul. Good. Take a deep breath and rest. And then rest as you move forward into this world and invite others to rest with you. So maybe in this space, God has healed you or been present with you or moved you. Excellent. But you can't stay here. So bring here there. Bring your experience here and share that joy with the world, because that is what Christmas is about. The Christmas story is not just about a baby being born. It's not just about God coming to earth. That's where it starts, and that is crucial. But the Christmas story can only continue when you return to your flock. So don't return to your flock unchanged, but return to your flock glorifying and praising God for all that you have seen and heard. I'm going to close with a poem written by Howard Thurman about the work of Christmas. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, then the work of Christmas begins, to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace to others, and alas, to make music in the heart. Christmas is more than just the baby Jesus being born. It is about us returning to our flocks and responding to that love that God has shown us by entering into this world. So don't leave here here. Don't let church be an isolated experience, but be fully and wholly transformed by God from within. And take that joy into the world. Let's pray. Lord, you are good for all that you have done in us and through us, all that you have done on this earth. Thank you for coming as a young baby, as a child, in humility to show us your love. Lord, I pray that you transform us, that you help us see how you have affected us in this world, and that we don't let here stay here. I pray that you bring us out into this world transformed and acting for you and moving for you and showing others your love, God. You are good, and we love you. We pray this all in your precious and holy name. Amen.